Today, Romans and the 12th chapter. Romans chapter 12, we're going to talk about understanding God's will. And we start with a passage, a couple of verses that are very familiar, and yet not often used to talk about the will of God with. Let's understand God's will. Romans 12, 1 and 2, you know them. You can probably quote them with me. Says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then notice what it says at the end of verse 2, that ye may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. We usually look at this passage and we talk about surrender. It is about surrender. But surrender to what? Well, specifically, surrender to the will of God. Right there at the end of verse 2. We talk, using verse 1 and verse 2, about separation. Separation from the world. Yes, that's right. But separation unto something. You say separation unto what? Well, separation unto the will of God. You weren't in the will of God before you were saved. Now, let's surrender to God. To what? To His will. Let's separate unto God, specifically to His will. And that should be the greatest desire of our hearts, to know the will of God and to do the will of God. Would you look this way, please, this morning? Good news. God is not playing keep away with His will. He's not hiding it from us. And it isn't far off, and it isn't hard to find. Number one, if you're following along on the back of the bulletin this morning, number one, we need to seek the will of God. First of all, we need to seek it. And remember as you seek it, that it's not far off. God wants us to know His will even more than we want to know it. I don't care how much you want to know it, God wants you to know it more than you want to know it. And that should be an encouragement. That if you seek it, you can find. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, seek and ye shall find. Seek me early and ye shall find me, He said. It was God who says, draw nigh unto me and I will draw nigh unto you. He's not trying to keep His distance from us. He wants to be close to us. If we are far away from Him, it's we who moved, not Him. So we need to seek God's will. Seek God's will in every area of our life. Even in little things, day-to-day decisions, we need to get into the habit of seeking God's will in matters. The Christian life should be a God-guided life, if you will. A good place to start, though, is not just in the tiny little day-to-day decisions, but in seeking God in the big things. Now that I'm saved, what do you want from me, God? We need to know God's will in whom we will marry, for instance, or where we'll go to college, or what we will do with our lives. Speaking of the college thing, speaking of Ethan this morning, it just reminds me of back in the day, way back, when I was considering Christian colleges, all my upbringing, I was told that I would go to this specific place that's down in southwest Missouri, and I just assumed it and really didn't even question it. It was just my destiny. And then... just the spring of my senior year in high school is when I said, now, Lord, this is what you want for me, right? And it was like the Lord said to me, like a breath of relief, oh, I'm so glad you finally asked. No, it's not what I want for you. I have another place for you. And so we need to seek and find God's will in these big areas. Like I said, whom we will marry. Now, I've got to say about my wife, she is the least selfish person that I know on earth. That's why we honored her the way that we did last week, and we listed off all that she does around here, and just as a special needs mom, all these things. And I got to tell you, she is the least selfish person I know on earth. As a matter of fact, her mom recounts the story how she overheard her when she was a teenager, praying at her bedside, dear Lord, I ask nothing for myself. Just please give my mama a very, very handsome son-in-law. How unselfish. Now, the flip side of that is I keep hearing her pray that, so I don't pray that prayer anymore, honey. Seriously, it's not your life. You belong to God. Ye are bought with a price. Don't settle for less than God's best. Seek His perfect will in your life. Christian, you don't just have the right to just decide what you're gonna be. You belong to God. We have no right to just decide on our own. Decide what I'm gonna do. No, we need to seek His will. We should seek His will for all decisions, big and small. We need to seek the will of God, number one. Number two, then we need to surrender to it. And I say then, maybe number two should be number one. Perhaps we should surrender first before we seek it. Because God does not reveal His will to us so we'll consider it. He only reveals His will to us when He knows that we'll do it. And so let's put number two, though I'm going to state it secondly, let's put it at the top of the list, to surrender to the will of God. Ephesians 6:6 says, to obey Him not with eye service as men pleasers, this is on the screen, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That's a surrendered heart right there, that wants to do His will more than anything else. I had desires, what I wanted to do, what I wanted to be, even as a Christian. And I haven't done some of those things. But it's been okay, because having surrendered to the will of God has been the best life that God had for me. And if I had the choice today to be that pilot that I wanted to be at one time, I would not go and do that. Maybe one day, that'd be nice, for one day. But not as a career. I wouldn't trade God's will for anything. And believe me, you wouldn't want to fly on the plane of a colorblind pilot anyway, which is part of what God used to keep me from perhaps making a mistake in that area. Well, Jesus is the very epitome of this idea of surrender. Surrender to God's will. He left heaven's glory, didn't He? Out of the ivory palaces. He surrendered. Have you ever thought what it would be like as a human to be a lower life form? You know what I'm talking about, a lower life form? Some kind of, well, say you were the life of a primate, as the evolutionists say that you were at one point. To be some lower life form, like a monkey or some kind of a ground squirrel or an attorney or some kind of lower life form, you know what I'm talking about? Like an ant. What would it be like to be a tiny little ant? You know, for Jesus to come and leave heaven and become a human would be like you becoming an ant. For decades? Only to be squashed eventually? Wow. Jesus is the very epitome of surrendering to God's will, knowing that it was for the best somehow, though it didn't seem like it maybe at first glance. He knew God's will for the end of His life, and in the Garden of Gethsemane, He surrendered to that which would not be pleasant to His human nature. He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." He surrendered to the will of the Father. So we need to surrender to His will. We need to seek His will. Number three, then we need to stand in the will of God, to stand in His will. Colossians 4:12 says, "That ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." We need to stand in His will. Once we know His will, we need to surrender to it, then stand firm in it, not drifting to the right or to the left. Let me give you a definition of God's will this morning. Jot this down, please. The will of God is exactly what we would choose for our lives if we had sense enough to choose it. We live our life in the natural. God wants us to live in the supernatural. In the natural, if we had good sense, if we had that supernatural sense, we would do the will of God. But we don't have it, so we need to seek it. The will of God then is exactly what He who created us to be. What we would choose for our lives if we had sense enough to choose it. And God loves us more than we love ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. He knows of greater possibilities and more success that we could achieve if only we'll seek and follow His plan. I had big aspirations for myself, even in the ministry, when I surrendered to the ministry. But they were different than what He's had for me. and they weren't as big as what He has showed me. He dreams bigger than I can. I want to follow His will. Because if I insist on my way of what I want to happen in the ministry, the danger is He might let me have that, and I'd be shortchanged of the best of what He really had for me. God is more qualified to plot the course of your life than you are. Just imagine the advantage you'd have if you were the creator, if you had handcrafted a person to your own design. You knew exactly what lay ahead for them. You knew everything that was going to happen every moment of their life, the rest of their life. Just imagine the advantage it would be to you as that person's creator if you could just show them the right way to live their life and what they're supposed to do and the right decisions for them to make. God is that creator, and He just wants to get it across to us. We need to surrender to it. We need to seek it and stand in it. Just for fun, let's do the little palindrome there in your bulletin. We'll put it on the screen as well. What is a palindrome? A sentence spelled the same forwards and backwards. I like this one. Just read it from right to left, and it reads the same as left to right. Go ahead. Oh, wow. And it makes sense. And we, who a couple months ago were down there at the Panama Canal, it's powerful. It does make sense. And we who were just down there know in the Panama Canal is a series of locks. And if you want to cross the Americas at the Panama Canal, if you want to cross there, you have to be able to accurately navigate through these series of locks. Each lock has markers which the captain must use. Our group watched a little movie there, and they showed us on the movie how the captain must navigate through these locks. He has to maneuver the ship so that the markers line up in a straight sequence. Not too hard to do, right? Just make sure that all these points beyond you line up in a straight line, and it'll guide you through. And they do have to make some turns through different channels and things like that. Well, God in His Word has given us several markers that we can go by. And when these markers line up, we have a better assurance of what God's will is for our lives. A man, a plan, line it up straight. God knows us inside and out, frontwards and backwards. If we'll just seek Him, He'll show us His will. So, when these markers line up, we can have a good assurance of what God's will is for our lives. Here they are. The first marker is recognition. Recognition. We need to recognize some things about God's will before we go seeking it. And what are they? Letter A, it's real. Recognize that God's word, God's will, is real. The first step in recognizing that God has a will is recognizing that God has a will for your life. It's a very real thing. And we see it throughout the Bible, like in Psalm 37:23, which says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Ordered by the Lord. I want to follow those steps. Lord, what are the steps? He doesn't show me the whole long pathway, but He does show me the next step. He's ordered them. So I need to be listening to Him. Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct those steps, thy paths." Now folks, I can't know all the details of God's will for your life, but I know one thing. God does have a plan for your life. It's a divine blueprint of you and your future. It's crafted by the One who designed the universe without any plans at all, and yet He has a plan for you. Don't you know it's a good one? If He can make the universe without a design, without a plan, that is, to follow, just speak it into existence. What a powerful thought. What a captivating thought, folks, that God is so involved in something as small as little old me and you. Matthew 10:29 is the verse that says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father." A sparrow is so insignificant, isn't it? and yet God has a plan for each of them, how much more does He have a plan for us? You know, I wanted to know what a farthing is so I could tell you today. So I looked it up, and here you go. A farthing is 1/10 of a drachma, and it's 1/16 of a denarius. So there you go. Evidently, it's like a few cents in our economy today. God says, look at those sparrows over there. They're practically worthless, and yet I have a plan for them. Now, He's using deductive reasoning here, arguing from the lesser to the greater. We are the highest of God's creation, made in His image. It's unthinkable that God could have a plan for those sparrows and to say, I think He's forgotten about me. He doesn't have a plan for my life. No, His eye is on the sparrow, and you can know He's watching you too. Letter B, not only is it real, it can be refused. It can be refused. God's will, that is. It can be refused. God will not make you do His will. He has given us a free will to choose. He did not force Adam and Eve to obey Him, but He gave them a choice. And it's been that way ever since. He gives us a choice. Why? Because God wants people to choose to love Him. God wants His children to choose to obey Him. He wants you and I to choose to follow Him. He doesn't want slaves that do it because they're forced to. He could snap His fingers and make us, but He wants us to choose to. He gets great glory from that. You know, a rapist forces himself on someone, in many cases because no one would ever choose to love him, you know? Listen, you can choose to be saved or not, and once you choose to be saved, you have another choice. Are you going to give your life back to God? Once you have chosen to be saved, you have another choice to make. Are you going to choose to do the will of God in your life or not? God wants us to choose. He doesn't force Himself on us. You know, a huge number of Christians today, sadly, say they believe in God, but they choose to live their own lives their own way. Oh, God, You're okay for my eternity. That's fine. But not for my present. I've got a plan for that. I'll take my hands off my eternity. After all, it was hopeless, my eternity was. But here in this life, I still have some control. Living independent from God. No, we need to be dependent on Him who has a better plan than we have. Some people today may even seem successful, making money. Maybe they're famous. Maybe they're happy, but if they aren't in God's will, they're a failure. The will of God, it's real, and it can be refused. Letter C, it's always right. It's always right. Romans 12:2, we just read at the beginning, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and what? Perfect. Will of God. Perfect. It's always right. God's will is always right. How many times in my Christian life has it seemed like maybe God was wrong? Did it seem like, I'm not sure if this is right. This doesn't feel right. But then how many times did it turn out in the end? It was right. It was right. It may not have seemed right to me. His ways are higher than our ways, aren't they? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And His knowledge, His omniscience, so far beyond our knowledge. Sir Thomas Lipton, famous yacht racer. He won many trophies, except the one that he really wanted. It was the America's Cup. One day he was showing some friends all the trophies on the shelves and on the display cases in his house. All these different trophies he won sailing. And he said this. He said, I'd give them all away to get the one that I didn't get. Now, young people, listen up very carefully this morning, please. Don't wind up my age, or middle-aged, as they're starting to call it, or older, and be found saying, I did a lot, but not the one thing that was really important. And I'd trade a lot of that I did to be able to go back and do it right, do it God's way. Now here's some good news. It's never too late to turn around, by the way. And tonight, in tonight's service, we're going to talk about what some people call God's permissive will. We're going to look at God's will from another angle tonight. Imagine a guy who likes to play the violin. Okay, we're talking about God's will being right, always right. Imagine a guy who likes to play the violin. He turns on a CD of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, and the violins are going there on the CD. And he pulls out his violin, and he begins to play at the same time, except he's playing Yankee Doodle. We have Beethoven's Fifth going on in the speakers, and he's playing Yankee Doodle. Now, he can do that if he wants to, right? But it's going to be a big mess. There's going to be major discord in that house. Folks, God has arranged a great symphony for your life. Don't be one of these Christians found off in the corner playing Yankee Doodle. When God paid a high price for you, He owns you, He deserves you. He deserves your attention. Don't be one of those Christians off by yourself playing Yankee Doodle. When important things are going on, when God has put so much work into the great symphony of your life, His plan is so much better than anything we can dream or imagine. Let's pay attention to Him as our great conductor. Let's follow Him beat for beat, step for step, as He directs our paths. So, the markers we're trying to line up. Recognition, first of all. Recognition. God's will is real. It can be refused, but it's always right. It's important for us to get that in line. And what do we put in line next? Resolution. Resolution. You must resolve. As we said earlier, you must resolve in advance that you will do His will. Lord, if you show me your will, I will do it. Look this way. Don't work with a net. God does not reveal His will to us when we work with a net. I have a fallback plan in case I don't care for God's will. No. Then God says, I'm not going to show you. I'm not going to show you. God doesn't work that way. It was on the Damascus Road that Saul at that time, asked God the two most important questions that any of us can ask. Number one, who are you, Lord? Okay? And then, what do you want me to do? He was resolved then to do what God told him to do. The Bible says ye are bought with a price. Ye are not your own. If you're saved, then you're God's. And more than that, you're God's twice. You're God's by virtue of creation. And now you're God's again by virtue of redemption. He made you. You're His. Through sin, He lost you. Through the cross, He bought you back. You're His twice. So don't approach God's will cafeteria style, taking which parts you like and leaving those parts that you don't like. Resolve in advance. Decide in advance that you will trust Him. Answer me this morning. Has God proven Himself to be trustworthy? Is He worthy of trust? Then we should trust Him with this. Trust Him with this. God does not reveal His will to us so that we may consider it. And you'll never know God's will for your life if you have this attitude of working with a net. God reveals His will only to those that He knows will obey it. John 7:17. If any man will do His will, he shall know. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God. Folks, being willing comes first before the doing. Why is this? Why is it that we got to be willing before He shows us? I believe that sometimes if we knew what God had ahead for us, it would scare us. If we knew the great things that He had planned for us, and by the way, if He can plan it for you, that means He can accomplish it through you. But you might see it, if He showed me what I'd be doing decades from now, for instance, I might say, there's no way. It might scare me off. We wouldn't be ready to accept that He could really do such great things through us, I believe. Then there's people that are afraid of knowing God's will that they just won't like it. So many Christians think of God's will like they think of Alka-Seltzer. Now, I know it's good for me, but it's just not going to be pleasant. It's not going to be pleasant. People think of God's will and shudder. Oh no, if I surrender to God's will, He'll call me away to Africa or make me marry some ugly chick. No, let's remember who our loving Father is. Imagine a loving father here on earth, a loving father with a teenage son. His son comes to him as the father and says, "Dad, can we spend the whole day together this Saturday?" How does the father react to that? Does he say, "Mwah, I've got him now. I'm going to think of everything that he hates. And then I'm going to fill his day with it. He's going to pull weeds, and he's going to clean the gutters, and he's going to scrub toilets, and then he'll be hungry, and I'm going to feed him Brussels sprouts." No, a loving father gets up off the floor and says, "You want to spend all day together with me? What a privilege that my son wants to please me and spend time with me and be with me. The least that I can do is make it a wonderful experience. I want to make this a wonderful experience because then at the end of the day, he'll love me even more." And of course, that's the goal, that you like me more than Mom. Right? Let me go. Let me go on record this morning that doing God's will, it's a wonderful life. It's the best. That's the best I can do, by the way. And it's the best that we could do is follow His will. So our God's not this evil personality hoping to find some willing people to go do the dirty jobs. He's not some cosmic killjoy whose goal is to make you miserable. He loves you. He has this wonderful plan. He wants you to know it more than you want to know it. He's not masking it in mystery. If you want to know it and you're willing to do it in advance, ladies and gentlemen, He'll say, "I hear that request, and hereby my answer is, my will is this." In His time, He will show you His will. And if, by chance, it is God's will for you to go to Africa, then you'll be happy with that. You'll want to go there in a way that you may not want to go there at this moment, and you'd be happier there than in America, and you'd be safer there. You would, because the safest place on earth is in the middle of God's will. The safest place on earth, the middle of God's will. Those of you who've had time, got to spend time with our missionaries when they're here in conferences, and I'm so excited about this October's conference, first week of October. You spend time with these missionaries. If you are one of the ones that sign up to take them out to eat or keep them in your house or whatever, you'll be forever changed by the experience. They're so happy to be where they're at, and they hate having to come back for furloughs, especially the way America's becoming today. Now let's give another illustration. Let's make it a grandfather this time. A grandfather tells his grandson, "I'm leaving to run some errands. Do you want to come with me so we can spend some time together?" What does the grandson say? "Where are you going?" What should the grandpa then say? "Well, if you want to be with me, then it doesn't matter." Right? The point is being with me. And so wherever it is, Lord, I'll go there because I want to be with you, not just where I'm comfortable without you. God says, "Will you surrender to my will?" And so many Christians say, "I don't know. What is it?" His reply, "It doesn't matter. Do you want to be with me?" Recognize that God has a will for you. We're lining up the markers. Resolve in advance that you will do it. And then number three, a third marker is revelation. Revelation. And this is great. When God reveals it to us, He doesn't show us everything. He doesn't show us the big picture, but He tells you the next step. He gives us a little light to go forward. And when we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Him. When we walk in what light He gives us, God gives us more light then. Of course, the illustration I've shared before of headlights on a car doesn't show you from point A all the way to home, but it shows you from point A to point B. And the good news is those headlights promise that if you go forward, to where they showed you to go. When you're there, they will show you the next step. They'll show you further on down the line. But God does not reveal His will to people who aren't walking in His will already. So many Christians are not walking in God's moral will. They're not obeying Him in areas of their life. And He says, it stops right here. It stops right here. Let's work on you doing what you already know to do. What you've already been commanded to do before I show you who you are going to be with or what you are going to be doing. Some people don't know God's will for their future because they're not doing God's will right now. Why should He reveal His will to you about tomorrow if you're not obeying Him today? It was Jesus who said, if you're not faithful in that which is least, then you won't be faithful in much. But if you are faithful in what you got right now, what is least right now, then He can show you the much, the more that He has for you. Here's a statement to jot down, please. The way to know God's will tomorrow is to do His will today. And remember, it's step by step. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You know, when God called me to the ministry, I first heard it as the call to missions. Soon after that, I recognized that He wanted me to pastor in America and gave me a burden for America. When God called me to pastor, I really wanted to do that. But for years, all that He showed me to do, talking about my teen years, all He showed me to do was run a bus route, which I did, work in junior church, which I did, and then when I was ready, He took me to the next level, and to the next, and to the next. And I know a little bit about God's will for you. I already know parts of God's will for you. I know that it's God's will that you pray. I know that it's God's will that you read your Bible every day. I know that it's God's will for you to be faithful. ATM, faithful in your attendance, faithful in your tithe, faithful to have a ministry. I know that it's God's will for you to be honest and to be hardworking, to try to walk in His ways of morality. I know it's God's will for us to be a witness. I also know one more thing. I know that if you don't do that, you won't find out what else He had in store for you. If we don't do the basics of His will, what makes you think He'll send a smoking plane to write His will out for you across the sky? Another statement. God is more concerned about your character than your career. And we already mentioned this, but let's drive it home a little bit further. You cannot know God's personal will for your life if you disregard God's moral will for your life. He's more concerned about the character before He gets into the whole career of all your paths. Being right with God comes before being right in the middle of His will, in other words. Now, if you have unconfessed sin in your life, and if you pray for God's will and direction, it just barely hits the ceiling. It's a mockery, really, that we would ask God for more down the road when we're not doing what He's already given us right here. We must walk in His moral will, which we already know. An illustration of this, a couple. A couple is fornicating, and then they come to the altar and pray for God to show them His will. It's a mockery. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, "This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." God says, here's my will. Now when you do that, then I'm going to show you some more things that are going to enhance and bless and change your life. But first things first. Walk in His moral will first before you look for Him to show you His personal will. Sin in the life cuts that phone line to heaven. And as Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So pray a prayer like this morning. And let's go ahead and just bow our heads and close our eyes right now. I would encourage you to pray this prayer if you can seriously sincerely pray it from the heart. Please listen carefully. Are you ready? Say, Lord, I want to know and do your will. And I surrender in advance to it. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Lord, if you'll reveal it to me, I promise in advance that I will trust you and I will do it. If you just prayed a prayer of surrender like that, would you raise your hand all across the room? Yes, yes. What a wonderful, wonderful sight. I say it's wonderful to the Lord, who just wants us to seek Him, to surrender to it. And now He wants us to take our stand and stand in His will. After we pray, we will stand. And if you'd like to solidify that decision at the old-fashioned altar, don't just stand, but step out. And as you walk here, you're symbolic of Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man, of a good woman, are ordered by the Lord. Lord, just as I'm taking these steps for you, I'll take whatever steps you show me in the future. I surrender to it. I separate myself unto it. Our Father, this morning, you've beseeched us to surrender our lives, a living sacrifice, which is only reasonable for us to do. Help us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed. Renew our minds, Lord. And please, Lord, show us, reveal to us, and give us the boldness and help us to do your good and perfect, acceptable will of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Just before we open up the invitation, if you're here this morning and you're not sure if you're saved, the Bible says that it's God's will for you to surrender and allow Him to save you. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says it's God's will to save you. Will you go with His will? Will you let Him save you? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here today and you're not sure if you're saved, would you just raise your hand and say, pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. We won't mention you by name. We won't point you out or come back to you. But I promise to pray for you. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Here's my hand. Can I see it? All right. Once we're saved, once we've chosen, then we have another choice. Will I do God's will or not? Let's stand to our feet, quiet, reverently. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Would you just step out and say, Lord, these aren't the only steps I'm going to follow you in, these steps to this altar. As you show me steps, I'll follow them, Lord. But here's the first step right now. Just take it out into the aisle. Come forward, use the old-fashioned altar right now. Why did God bring you here today? What does He want to correct in your life? What is it that He wants? What's He saying to you? What steps has He already revealed and you're not doing them? You need to just come and say, okay, Lord, I'll let go. I'll do it. What are the other steps that you're praying about? Saying, Lord, why won't you show me what to do? Come seek His will in the biblical fashion that we've talked about today. And certainly, if you need to be saved, take a step out. Come meet me here at the front. We'll have someone deal with you privately and help you get saved today. God will save you. And we're happy to help.